Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and this is found on page 1588 of the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I can't believe that we are already at the last Sunday of Advent this year. We have a small Advent wreath on our dining room table at home, and every week when we get home from church on Sunday, the excitement in the house is that we get to light yet another candle, and today we finally get to light them all. In a few days, we'll gather together again on the holiest of nights, and we'll celebrate the day that God burst into space and time to be with us. Not some abstract spiritual with us, but physically with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Come, come, Emmanuel. There are distinct themes woven throughout the whole church year. And during Advent, we've talked about waiting. We've talked about God's desire for peace and justice. We've prepared our hearts for the arrival of the Messiah, the great light in a dark world. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited that our season of waiting is nearly over. I love candlelight, but isn't the light of the sun even better? The themes are all through the scripture passages we read, through the prayers we pray, and the songs we sing. And today is the day that they all start to come together to herald the coming of Christ. Sometimes we can get really used to the way that church services are structured, and we forget that every piece has meaning and value. Style of music has historically been one of the most hotly argued pieces of church services, going back hundreds of years at least. But most churches agree that music is important in the worship service. Traditionally, songs were incorporated into worship services primarily because they're a format that is easy for the human brain to remember. Even as far back as Jewish temple worship in Israel, chanting and singing was important, partly because it sounds nice, but also that it helps us to remember things better. I'll bet that half or more of you could recite at least one verse of at least one hymn right now off of the top of your head. The rhythm and the notes stick the words and the ideas to our brains better than just spoken words. There's something about the meter and the tone that connects to us. Many old hymns make use of pub music. There are tunes today that we consider holy and church-like that started out in bars. Some hymns share tunes with other hymns. Some are from old Irish folk melodies or slave spirituals. Some are melodies from familiar classical music. Hymns are traditionally theology set to popular music, music that the people know. It's a way of centering our hearts and our minds on the worship service. There's a reason that Christmas music is such a big deal. It's an important time of year for us, and we use music as a way to communicate to others and to remind ourselves what it's all about. Even most non-religious Christmas songs have nostalgic themes and ideas about home and family, love and warmth, the way things were, the way things should be. When we sing in church, especially during important times in the church calendar like Advent, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, we're telling our story. Listen closely to the words. We're reminding ourselves and those around us of what we believe, of what the meaning of the season is, of the great things that God has done for us, and the bright future we have in Jesus. The first hymn we sang this morning talks about God breaking forth into human history as Jesus Christ. God chose to be in saving relationship with humankind before anything was ever created. Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be. Before the universe was even in existence, God loved us. God wanted to be part of our history before there was even such a thing as history. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This isn't just something God decided to do one day because people had screwed up and made such a mess of things. God has always wanted to be with us in very tangible ways. Jesus was begotten of God's love before the first person was even made. There is no beginning and no end to this love other than God, who is without beginning and end. The first musical theological declaration we made this morning together is that God is for us. Before anything else, God chose to be with us in Jesus Christ. That little baby in a manger who we celebrate this week is God saying, "I love you. I've got this." And it's humbling because He is Alpha and Omega. He the source, the ending, He. In the children's sermon this morning, the candles represented us. We can shine a dim light in a dark world, but God is the source of everything, including any light that we can possibly manage to shine, from the beginning of time as we know it to the very end. God breaking into the world is like the lights coming on at full wattage. King David, Jesus, Mother Mary, us, we are all candles at best. When the angel in Luke 1 approaches Mary, she is understandably troubled at his words. Mary knows that she is but a candle, and God is the overwhelming, overshadowing, blinding, dazzling King of all creation. When David tries to jump God's plans by building the temple he wasn't told to build, God says to David, "I picked you up out of the pasture and made you a king. Remember your place." We sing this morning that in all the ages, God is and always shall be the light in the darkness, the loving creator and the sovereign of all. So then what do we do when we are approached by our sovereign God? How do we respond to an encounter like this with the Holy One of all the ages? Mary's response, after recovering from the initial fear of having been confronted by the Holy, is to say, "I am the Lord's servant." The second song we're singing this morning is a reflection on Mary's response to God's call. It's called the Canticle of the Turning, which sounds like a very formal and technical name for a song, but canticle simply means a song or a hymn that is based directly on scripture passage. This one is based on the following verses from what we read this morning in Luke 1, after Mary goes and visits with her cousin Elizabeth. Mary expresses joy and humility over having been chosen for God's task at a time when the world is ready to change. It's about a time when the earth is getting ready to turn, to change over to something new. We see all of these important themes we've talked about in Advent: expectation and waiting, the coming greatness of the Messiah, comfort, reconciliation, and justice. We also continue to see that God's light always overshadows any light that we can possibly shine. My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. David, too, finds himself at a time of turning. After reminding him that he's but a candle, God goes on to tell David that he's special. He is chosen for an important task. He softens the tone and reminds David that he has been made great and that there is something special about his house, his lineage. In the Gospels, we see Jesus' human family tree traced back to David, the son of Jesse, a lineage that is often referred to as the tree of Jesse, or as a sort of vine. I'd always thought, "Lo, how a rose e'er blooming," was a really bizarre, nonsensical thing to say in a Christmas song, until I realized there's a connection in the key line, "Of Jesse's lineage coming, as men of old have sung." Jesus is the flower of the vine. He is the fulfillment of God establishing kingdom through the lineage of David. He is the foretold Messiah. This flower whose fragrance, tender with sweetness, fills the air, dispels with glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. We can be candles like David and Mary. Our place in the story might not seem quite as exotic or exciting or adventurous. I'm sorry to say that I doubt any one of us in this room today will ever become a king or a queen. And I can say with pretty good assurance that none of us is ever going to give birth to Jesus Christ. But every one of us has a place in the work of God. We need to be in all corners of the community because Jesus is in all corners. His fragrance fills the air. He dispels not just some of the darkness, or the darkness in certain places, but he dispels all of the darkness everywhere. So like David and Mary before us, let us approach God's throne with gladness, with awe and reverence, as we prepare for the blinding light of Jesus breaking into the world. Amen.